Hello, everyone. I'm Barbara Eady from BarbaraEady.com, and today I'm speaking with Matthew Sanford, founder of Mind Body Solutions. Matthew Sanford has inspired and enhanced the lives of thousands by sharing the fundamental importance of the mind-body relationship, something that he's been exploring since becoming paralyzed at age 13 after a devastating accident. Today, Matthew is a nationally recognized yoga teacher and workshop leader, teaching at national yoga conferences, studios, and institutions around the United States. He teaches both traditional students and is a pioneer in adapting yoga for people living with disabilities. In 2002, he founded Mind Body Solutions, an organization that provides traditional and adaptive yoga classes to help people dealing with trauma, loss, or disability to awaken to their true potential through the mind-body connection. For Matthew, connecting mind and body is not just a health strategy. It's a movement of consciousness that could change the world. An inspiring speaker and author, Matthew shares his message and his personal story on stages across the country, as well as in his award-winning book, Waking, a Memoir of Trauma and Transcendence. Welcome, Matthew.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Great. Well, I've just finished reading Waking, and it's such a powerful story and an awakening on so many levels. You said that you wrote the book not to tell people something about you as much as to show them something about the mind-body relationship. So for those listening who don't know your story, can you tell us first about the trauma that began this journey and then what paralysis and being in a wheelchair has taught you about the mind-body connection?
I was in a car accident when I was 13, so my father, and this was a big car accident, just one car, but my father and sister were killed, and my mother and brother didn't sustain any physical injuries, but I went through a shredder. I broke my neck at C1, I broke my back at T456, I broke both my wrists, filled along with fluid, and sustained the injury in my pancreas. It left me unable to eat for nearly 60 days, so I went from 119-pound, very athletic young boy to 79 pounds. So it was quite an accident. And that started, you know, a whole, I was asleep in the car, and I was taking a nap. And so I literally went to sleep leaning against my sister and woke up to a completely different life. So that's a little bit of the background. You know, I didn't start yoga until I was 25. So for the first 12 years after my accident, I followed and listened to the rehabilitation model and the medical model about what my injury was and about what the potential of sensation was throughout my whole body. And basically their image was to, that sensation below my point of injury was over, and that what my option was really to make my upper body, I'm paralyzed from the chest down. That's the injury that actually did damage to my spinal cord. And so to get my upper body really strong and drag my paralyzed body through life, basically, you know, the sentence was, and the vision, it's not just, you know, sentence, but the vision was that I could be a floating upper torso and then compensate and make my life work and drag my paralyzed body through life. And at 25, I just missed my body. I was a very athletic little kid, and I wanted to be living my whole body. So I started yoga at that point. And since then, I've been on a journey on how to have awareness travel through the whole body without being able to flex muscles or utilize the central nervous system. So it's been a journey in exploring subtle sensation, sensation that exists in all of us. That it's, for me, it's not necessarily going to make me walk again, but it's going to make me be able to live vibrantly through my whole body. One of the reasons why I wrote Waking was that, you know, I got knocked out of my body in the time it took to break my back, two-thirds of my body. But, you know, we're all in a journey with the mind-body relationship, and we're all leaving our bodies. Aging is a process that definitely guarantees that for everybody. So I wrote Waking because I wanted people to think about the mind-body relationship and what it means to have changing sensation in the mind-body relationship, especially as we lose physical control and physical vitality.
Right. So you discovered, as you said in the beginning, what the traditional model or vision of what was possible for your mind-body connection and sensations turned out not to be true, that you could actually discover a whole different connection and the subtle sensations that exist and that exist.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to like put this in yoga terms, it would, you know, let's imagine there's the gross physical body, which is very much controlled by the central nervous system and by a well-functioning spinal cord. And then there's
right.
potential in the human nervous system that that I think transcends that. That, and I'm not sure how it goes, and I don't know what the story will finally be, whether it'll be, you know, the autonomic nervous system or the vascular nervous system. But I think that there's more connections throughout the whole body than just the central nervous system.
Right.
And so basically, you know, by exploring what, there's a key scene in my book, Waking, where I'm told that any sensation, it's like 2 months after my accident, and I'm told that any sensation I'm feeling below my point of injury in my legs is actually a phantom feeling, like as if my legs have been amputated and I'm having phantom feelings. And that tingling or hum that I feel throughout my whole body, it's the cornerstone of my yoga practice now. It's what I teach healthcare professionals and rehabilitation professionals how to rehabilitate this in people who have gone through trauma, loss, and disability. So that level of sensation is real, and it's tangible, and it needs to be rehabilitated. And right now, although it's changing, the conceptualization of sensation in human consciousness or in the human body is limited to sensation that is more overt, more gross. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by the gross body.
Right.
And I think that, you know, and that level of sensation is the most effective and it's the most efficient. And there's a reason why it was selected by evolution. I mean, being able to motor our body and move through space is what's helped us survive, you know, tigers chasing us a million years ago. But in fact, I think that's only part of the potential of the human nervous system. And so my journey with my injury and paralysis has been in exploring not just the nature of the universe, like through meditation, but also exploring the levels of sensation and vibrancy that exist in what we, our culture, typically perceives as loss or as no sensation at all. And it turns out that that's not true. There's more sensation in the human dynamic than we typically pay attention to. One of the things that drives all of my work is a simple line, but it's not simple at all. I've never seen someone become more aware of his or her body without also becoming more compassionate.
Hmm.
And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think that the subtle part of the human nervous system is where a lot of our potential for strength and resiliency and also compassion actually reside in the mind-body relationship.
Right, the mind-body relationship beyond the central nervous system.
I don't even know if it's beyond, but it's something. I mean, if you sit back in your chair and you slouch back,
mm-hmm.
Right, and then if you lean forward and you press down through your inner heels, you feel a change in your legs just by changing gravity.
Right.
You know, right, and it turns out that I feel that too. I don't feel it the same way you do, but in fact, when I shift my center in gravity, when I pay attention to the flow of energy and awareness through the human body, through my mind-body relationship, there's the level of sensation that transcends a severed spinal cord. And I'm not exactly sure how it's happening, but I know that I can teach it. I've taught it both to people with disability and neurological deficit, but also I think it's at the heart of anyone's yoga practice.
Right.
And so we've figured out ways to teach that.
Right. And that's my next question, actually. Perfect segue. Is, as you said, you can teach, even though you at this point can no longer move your legs, you still have that subtle degree of sensation. And so you can teach others who can stand where you can't or who can feel things that you cannot. So how did you start to teach this, or How do you teach that to other people?
The other thing is, like, you know, I can feel things that most people that can walk around can't feel. And a lot of it is because I don't have as much distraction. Like, I can hear the hum, the inner hum of consciousness within my paralysis because I don't have muscular control. Exactly because I don't have the ability and hear you tickling the bottoms of my feet. What I experience within my paralysis, and, you know, what I started to do is, instead of being told by the, you know, believing ultimately, it took 12 years, but that I had no sensation, I actually started to listen to the sensation of paralysis, not just to the sensation of what it's like to be paralyzed, like in our culture, but literally what does it feel like inside my paralysis. And it turns out that what I was told was lost isn't completely lost. There's a level of hum and tingling that is at the core of everyone's existential sensation. There's a sensation of what it feels like to be alive. And I mean before judgment. I don't mean like, oh, it feels great to be alive. I mean literally as life hums through us and through our mind-body relationship, it has a sensation. That sensation is still there and within my whole body, including my paralysis. And with enough practice and listening, you start to recognize that the ancient tradition of yoga with alignment and precision, and I'm an Iyengar yoga teacher, so I emphasize much more alignment and precision, that there are ways to affect the existential sensation, or refine it, I would say, clarify it, bring more clarity to my realization or a student's realization of the hum that exists in us. And it turns out when you get connected to that hum, and it could happen just from meditation. I just happen to do asana too. Mm-hmm. When you get more connected to that core level of existence, and I mean this literally. I'm not a touchy-feely guy. I mean this literally. It turns out that your heart opens up. It turns out that you more get more connected and you feel more unity between you and the world around you. Mm-hmm. And when that is realized, not only is that a potential, the possibility of open up a possibility of greater unity and whatever it means by spiritual peace, right? But it also has very practical benefits. And that's, you know, it's one thing to, you know, keep all of this kind of at the ethereal level, right?
Right.
But it's another work of my body solutions, my nonprofit, is to say this level of sensation that literally is within all of us is practical. It's not going to miraculously make me walk again or cure cancer or whatever, and it doesn't need to, but it actually can improve, like in the work I do with people with trauma loss disability, it can improve for someone with like a spinal cord injury, it can improve their transfers. It can, as they learn how, like in order to transfer, for you to stand up, you have to lean forward, push down through your feet, and lift up through your spine and stand up, right? And
right.
That principle of being able to go down through your body in order to propel yourself up, that's a principle that's in every yoga pose. And I'm not going to be able to push down through my feet and activate muscles to stand up. But if I learn how to move energy down through my feet as I go to transfer, right, it's going to like make there be less work in my upper body. So regardless of neurological deficit, and this is being an application of what I'm talking about, you have to
right.
teach someone who has a spinal cord injury to learn how to push down through their feet even though they can't physically do it. And when they do that, their balance and their grace in movement increases, right? So that would be one practical application of it, is that this level of sensation, if you live in your whole body, if you allow yourself to feel more, mm-hmm. you're a stronger human being.
Right.
And we're just scared of that. You know, we like to think of strength as muscular strength, mm-hmm. or of that strength has to do just with your human will or your willingness to never give up. And in fact, I think that anyone who's practiced yoga long enough realizes that true strength resides in the grace in the mind-body relationship, and being able to integrate movement with a deeper level of sensation to refine the overall experience. And that's what strength is.
Right. As you said, the grace of the mind-body relationship.
One of my favorite lines is that I use is, strength without a sense of direction leads to violence.
Hmm.
Strength with a sense of direction is grace.
Hmm.
And that is like obviously true within the asana, but it's also true in so many other ways. That if you just try to will yourself through pushing yourself to where you want to go, but if you can feel it from inside out, that's a transformation. That's a shift in consciousness.
Right, right. So again, that's what you mean when you say that this whole experience of the mind-body connection and deepening it to a point that most of us don't know or don't experience.
Or don't need to have. I mean, it's potentially there for everybody. But
right.
because you don't have the same need. It's like, imagine I sometimes think that in some ways I'm like a blind person that needed to develop other senses.
Right.
You know what I mean? And most people don't have to develop the subtlety of it. Except, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of unhappy people out there.
Oh.
Right? Our lives are too busy, and we're getting more and more disconnected from our bodies. And,
right.
And so that's part of why I teach both traditional and adaptive students, is that this insight, this core of sensation that is in everybody, it's more subtle, is necessary for everybody. And it's also going to be very important as you age. As you literally, and I'm talking this in the United States at least, we don't like thinking about aging as a disability. But aging is a disability. You lose ability. That's
right.
What's going to happen as we age. And
right.
So if you can, and it's going to happen because our muscular strength, our ability to coordinate outward physical action is going to be slowly disintegrate as we age or decay. And so, especially in the aging process, being able to tap into this deeper, more subtle level of sensation that isn't as dependent on muscular action is going to be the key to living well as we age.
Right, and as you said, still being able to move energy and the practical aspects that you've discovered.
And improve balance.
And improve balance.
All those things, yeah.
Yeah, and even transferring. I mean, even people who aren't paralyzed, as they age, it's more difficult for them to get up even.
A nonprofit also does a lot of training for healthcare professionals. This level of mind-body awareness is crucial for the healthcare workers so they don't burn out.
Right.
It improves the quality of care. Quite frankly, we all need to feel more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And it turns out, I mean, this is where, I don't want to get... So let me back up a little bit. I believe that, how we live in our bodies, how our nervous system manifests through our mind-body relationship needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, and I think that this is something we don't... The experience of where our mind intersects our body is, I think, something that we need to manage much better, right? And so, but I think the work of Mind Body Solutions is to try to show that this has practical benefit. It increases engagement. It increases outcomes for people living with disabilities. Like right now, we're also training staff at a national leading eating disorders clinic on how to apply mind-body principles to the treatment of people with eating disorders, right? And I'm trying to show, our nonprofit is showing over and over that if you can increase the amount of mind-body awareness within the therapeutic relationship, both for the caregiver and for the patient, that outcomes improve for both, that the burnout rate or compassion fatigue in healthcare workers decreases as they learn to live in their bodies better. But also as they learn to live in their bodies better, the quality of care increases.
Right.
Right. And well, so not only does the employee like their job more and actually end up with greater job retention, which is a benefit for the healthcare employer, right, mm-hmm. that it also improves outcomes for the patient. So right. Mind Body Solution is engaged in showing the efficacy of increasing mind-body relationship, mind-body awareness within the therapeutic relationship, right? And
right.
And so that's part of what that's the attempt to make it practical, or one of the ways to make it practical. But for
right.
me, this also, when you become and connect deeper within the inner body, that it also shifts and connects you greater to the people and world around you.
Right.
And that's the shift where I say mind-body awareness is more than a personal health strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Mind-body, it's a shift in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It actually makes violence more difficult to partake in.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Just a little more about Mind Body Solutions. You've mentioned again that you're working with healthcare workers and you work with people with disabilities. Can you tell me a little more about the organization and who exactly you serve?
We teach right now. We do a few different things. We teach people with trauma, loss, and disability. So we offer yoga classes and adaptive yoga classes. In a way, our approach is unique. I mean, it's unique in the world, right? And that's just, and also, so we teach classes, but
right.
then we also have people come and train with us. So, like, we've been training yoga teachers from around the country, from around the world, actually, a lot of people from Canada, actually, but from Europe, too, come and study with us about how to teach anybody the principles of yoga. Right, how you can, instead of like learning how to adapt yoga poses, because yoga poses discriminate, but the principles of yoga don't. And so we're experts at pioneering how to teach basic principles, universal principles of yoga to anyone that comes through the door. So that's one way we train yoga teachers. We also, we offer end user classes. But our students are also who teaches the yoga teachers, right? So there's our staff, but also the voice of disability, the understanding of what it's like and the wisdom that comes from living with a disability or a trauma and a loss becomes coming from our students as part of what trains the teachers. We also offer programs within healthcare. So we train staff. So we've done a 4-year training at a leading rehabilitation institute here in Minneapolis to help them become the mind-body rehabilitation leaders in the country. We also, like right now, are doing a program where we're training staff how to increase their own mind-body awareness while co-creating new strategies on how to treat their patients. So we're training that staff. We've also developed curriculum for the care in elderly care. How do you improve the exchange and the dynamic within the mind-body relationship in elderly care? We also, our programs are also aiming at helping healthcare worker compassion fatigue. Like, how do you learn how to, as a caregiver, how do you learn to sit in the presence of suffering without trying to fix it, even though they're supposed to fix it, right? How do you give and receive simultaneously? These are insights that are not psychological insights the way our culture typically thinks of them. I think they're mind-body insights that you need to start training and helping the healthcare worker live differently in their body to withstand the onslaught and the work within healthcare. So, I mean, does that give you a better picture?
Yes, absolutely. So you're not just dealing with, again, people who've experienced trauma or disability, like yourself, whether
mm-hmm.
someone's become paralyzed or...
Oh, no, for sure
I know
not.
You're dealing with, I believe I read, veterans as well, people...
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, and we train, right. We help people with PTSD for sure,
right.
and also with disability. But our model, the way that we can make the greatest impact with what we know, and Mind Body Solutions is to train the trainer, So we're not. So we offer classes to our end users, and that's part of our institute. Where when you come and train with us, you're going to get access to our students too, who are living the talk, who are giving insight to the people that are going to be caring for them about what it's like to live with a disability, what it's really like to live in an altering and changing mind-body relationship, and this gives profound insight to the people coming to study with us.
Right.
So it's an experience that truly is done no other place in the world.
Right, because it's such a two-way relationship. As you said,
it's one of the other things that I know that drives my work is that when ability and disability come into the same room at the same time and truly share and truly open up and allow everyone to be vulnerable, right? And vulnerable in a good way and open, that humanity comes forward. But that's when we openly share in a room the truth of our lives. It is a realization of humanity. So that is transformative. And it's not just because people with more ability are helping with people live with less ability. It's literally everyone showing up and opening. And I don't just mean psychologically into emotions, but I mean as you start to like help and be involved with someone realizing how to move through their whole body, even though they haven't or they've been told for 35 years that they can't do it. And then in order to teach that person, you have to feel it in your own body and or to help that person. What happens in that context is so profoundly beautiful and sacred. It's life-altering when you actually share the truth of living. Not
right.
Tell people what to do, right? But literally partake as an equal in the continuum of ability and disability. When you
right.
do that, the world changes shape for you.
Right, and as you said, that's the beauty of it. It's really just a continuum of ability, disability.
And that's what we're all on, that continuum. Aging
absolutely.
Guarantees that process.
Right. So we're all in our body as they are, but we can all teach each other things at whatever level we are at in our body.
Yeah. So like one of the things like for our end user, right, for the person that lives with trauma disability, I mean, we make people living with trauma disability happier, healthier, and more independent.
Right.
That's our goal with people that are living with trauma disability. But as we're training people to help people realize that, right, we're having an impact bigger and bigger. And in order to push forward and this realization, it takes everyone joining in.
Absolutely.
And it's fantastic. It's very meaningful. It's sacred work.
I agree. It sounds exactly like that, sacred work, because both people have to participate from where we are. And it's a beautiful exchange. Like you said, both people are learning so much more about their own connection.
And this all comes out of my book, Waking. It's like, in a way, to oversimplify. See, I'm a very pragmatic guy, right? So
okay.
I know I have big thoughts, right? Where like, I know from going through rehabilitation and going through my profound hospital experience, right, is that too much was done to me as opposed to with me.
Ah, okay.
Right? That simple distinction is one of the principles that drives everything we develop. How do you make sure that that the caregiver and the patient, although in different situations, are working together?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about someone's knowledge trying to tell me what to do as a patient. And when you make that switch to doing with people, what ends up happening is not only do the patient's outcome improves, but the outcome and engagement of the healthcare worker improves.
Absolutely.
Turns out that the way we deliver healthcare right now is not good for either side of the equation.
No. Absolutely not. Okay, so what's your great vision for all of this, Matthew? You've already done.
Well, we're in the process of trying to become an institute where more and more people can come and train with us, where we deliver more and more programs, and we show the efficacy of the idea that deepening mind-body awareness improves lives.
Right.
Like literally improves lives. And so, and this is an insight that's true on every level. So my vision, we're doing the programs we do now, we teach staff yoga, we're training people. I want more and more people to come and train with us. We have a faculty that is going to only increase, and we're experts at being able to help facilitate more mind-body awareness in a wider variety of contexts on a very practical level, right? But all the while knowing that as you do this work, you increase connection and compassion on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's, so the vision is an institute that's doing very practical things,
right?
But with a deeper vision of when we show up, when we are willing, all of us, to feel and engage with more of us, the parts of us that both that we can control, mm-hmm. right, and feel, and the parts of us that we can't fully control and we can't fully feel, and understand that level of uncertainty that comes with letting yourself be more, when that happens, both on an individual level and on an organizational level, the world becomes a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lofty vision, but what's great about Mind-Body Solutions is we're willing to roll up our sleeves mm-hmm. and make it very practical.
Right.
And so we need people to join our work. We need people to support what we're doing. We need
right.
people to know our story. So that's part of why I agreed to this interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
That if you can tell our story well,
mm-hmm.
you're not only helping us, but I think you're doing service.
Mm-hmm. That's my intention. Wonderful. Wonderful. And how about, during this whole journey, during this whole process and all the things you've achieved, what advice or wisdom could you give to other people who might want to create change in the world at whatever level?
But there's a really somebody much smarter than me said, be the change you want to see in the world. Right? That'd be Gandhi.
That'd be Gandhi. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But also, right, I believe, and I think it's very sad, I think that one of the great losses in our culture right now as our lives are getting much more complicated and the world situation is getting in some ways much more dire, right? I think that people have lost the belief that things can really change, that it's possible for things to be done differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that realization, I mean, there's so many hard things going on the globe right now that we tend as a culture, especially in the United States, I think, to turn our heads the other way with problems we don't know how to deal with, right? And there's so much to process. And that I know that human consciousness functions better when minds and bodies are integrated.
When minds and bodies are integrated.
Yeah. That mind, when it gets too disconnected from the body, gets very agitated and more self-destructive. So the flip side of, I've never seen someone become more compassionate. The flip side of that is that when mind and body get disconnected from each other,
mm-hmm.
it leads to self-destruction.
Right.
And that this is something that we need as we try to figure out a future, an uncertain future, the more grounded we are, the more our minds are connected to our bodies, the better decisions we're going to make coming forward. And so I think that for someone that is trying to change the world, right, I think it's very important to develop practices that nourish them.
Okay.
If you think that shifting consciousness is a moral issue, that we should do this and we should do that, the culture is going to resist that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's going to lead to violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that the shift has to go deeper. I think if we don't learn how to explore the subtler parts of our nervous system, our brains are hardwired from 50,000 years ago when we were running from tigers. And we have to explore a more connective, cohesive, integrated level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be, because the world's going to resist this change, right? We're scared to go into what we can't quite see and control. So for someone who's trying to do paradigm shifting work,
mm-hmm.
stay patient, stay grounded, and trust time.
Stay patient, stay grounded, and trust time.
You have to.
Yeah. Right. Wonderful. So where can people find out more about Mind Body Solutions, Matthew?
Our website is a great place, mindbodysolutions.org.
Okay.
You can learn some stuff. I also have a website, MatthewSanford.com. And we have right now we have some resources. Like for someone living with trauma or disability, we have a DVD called Beyond Disability, a yoga practice with Matthew Sanford. So there are resources like that. You can like us on Facebook, learn our story, join the work, come train with us. Right? The best way is to start living what we're talking about.
Right.
So
anyone can come train with you, or are you speaking in terms of healthcare workers or people who want to?
We have yoga, the yoga trainings, they can do that, but we also now are having, trainings for healthcare workers, and that's, all this is just going to increase as we can get groundswell, right, we're going to offer more and more different things for wider and wider ranges of people. But anyone that is interested in being of service and helping other human beings, right, you can learn valuable things with us.
Wow. So it's really open to all kinds of people.
Yep. Vision. That's the bigger vision, is that it just turns out that Mind Body Solutions is trying to demonstrate practical efficacy
mm-hmm.
in a couple of contexts. But the insight itself, the fact that we need to live more congruently with what it feels like to be alive,
mm-hmm.
right? That's for everybody.
That is absolutely for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Matthew. This has been such an inspiring conversation. So thanks again for your time today. And I just briefly want to speak to people who will be listening to this later. That, again, my name is Barbara Eady from BarbaraEady.com, and I've been speaking with Matthew Sanford, founder of Mind Body Solutions, which is an organization transforming trauma and disability to hope and healing, both through yoga and teaching people to find a deeper connection between mind, body, and spirit. So thank you for those who will be listening to this, and thank you again, Matthew. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye-bye.